Thank you for joining us for episode 44 of Head Start, a weekly podcast to help Liberty's adult and student ministry life group leaders prepare for the upcoming lesson. So, lesson, with that in mind, just think back to a challenge that was given us some weeks ago, a chapter a day challenge. And so I just want to bring that in back to the front of our minds, not only around the table, but also the minds of our leaders. And my hope is that you leaders would in turn bring it back into the front of the minds of those in your group. We need to keep this in front of our people. Are we wrapping up? I'm just going to step right on out here in straight up honesty. I'm a few days behind. Few as in this morning.
Not that.
Yep. Few.
I'm spot on.
Are you? Few as in this morning. I turned to Tanya and said, "I'm 6 days behind."
That's six chapters.
That is six chapters. You're right. Thank you. In Luke, some of those chapters are really long.
We're in John now, by the way.
You may be, but I'm not. So hopefully I can come out of the weekend being all caught up. That's my goal. So
still have some work to do in Mark. It's not going real well.
Okay. What do we say? Progress over perfection.
Yes, please.
Need some progress before I can celebrate that.
Okay,
I have been in God's Word daily.
Yes.
I have not been on the chapter a day for a little while. So I had it this morning and meant to get back into it and then spent time elsewhere in the Word. And
good.
So, okay. Yep, I will be getting back to it here pretty soon. Well, I'm probably not going to catch up, to be real honest with you guys. I'm going to pick up wherever we are on that given day.
Okay, Cal, we're going around the table. Confession is good for the heart.
Yeah, we've just been chapter picking up almost every other day. When we get around to it, we just move right ahead and stay current.
Okay.
That's great.
Okay.
That's it.
He's current.
He's current.
Yes.
John.
John.
Oh, man, I wish you'd have gone first. I'd have said same.
All right. Well, leaders, let me encourage you, wherever you find yourself, to keep this, to remind your group and encourage them. Because here's what we know. Engaging in God's Word will transform our lives. And if we can have this consistent engagement, then I think we're making progress. And that's a win. So, all right. Today, we are continuing in this new sermon series, Chasing the Wind. We'll be looking specifically at Ecclesiastes 1, chapter 1, verses 12 through 18, and chapter 2, verses 12 through 17. Tim and I had a conversation yesterday about why did we skip all those verses? Like, okay, so I'm sure that will be explained here in just a little bit. Tim, no pressure there.
You're welcome.
Tim will be guiding our conversation about the passage today.
Yeah, the theme of Ecclesiastes is very real. Absolute futility, as the CSB says. What we see, keep in mind, Solomon, when he took the throne, was a young man. We anticipate probably in his 20s. And we know from 1 Kings chapter 3, he was given an invitation by the Lord to ask anything you wish. And because he was young and inexperienced at that beginning part of his reign, he asked for discernment. He asked for wisdom to know how to lead God's people in justice. And God honored that request and so much more. So keep that in mind. Years and years and years later, toward the end of his life now, and the end of his reign, after Solomon has pursued many things trying to find meaning in life, pursuing riches and power and influence and all of these things. He also, in our context in this lesson, pursued wisdom and knowledge. But this is coming from the guy that we often say was the wisest guy to ever live and reign. And this is a guy that God blessed with an unusual type of discernment and wisdom. But yet we see his life testimony play out to where he did not practice the maybe the wisdom that he had from the Lord. And I think understand here as we study chapter 1, verses 12 through 18, and then jump to chapter 2 in verses 12 through 17. The reason we did that is it's thematic because both of those blocks and paragraphs are talking about wisdom. And as we step into the rest of chapter 1, King Solomon, this man who is noted to have great wisdom, pursued wisdom even more, seeking the meaning in life. And what he finds out and concludes is that wisdom by itself, and we're talking about human wisdom, a wisdom that man can accrue by learning, wisdom by itself does not answer that question of adding meaning to life.
Right.
Alistair Begg made this statement in one of his sermons on Ecclesiastes. He said, "Information to the mind cannot in and of itself satisfy the needs of the heart, nor is it capable of taming the unruliness of the soul." And I thought that just kind of is a summary statement of these two sections that we're reading about Solomon's conclusion about his empty pursuit of wisdom and trying to find meaning in life. Solomon is pointing out that it is a serious mistake to think that education and intellectualism holds the answer to the quest for meaning in life. And just listen to the words. He said, "I, the preacher or the teacher, have been king over Israel and in Jerusalem. I've applied my mind to examine and explore through wisdom all that is done under the sun. God has given people this miserable task to keep them occupied. I have seen all the things that are done under the sun, have found everything to be futile, a pursuit of the wind. The more you know, the more you realize you don't know. The more you pursue being educated, the more you realize you need to learn." Verse 15 is kind of a proverb. What is crooked cannot be straightened, and what is lacking cannot be counted. All the wisdom in the world, there's some things it can't fix. And he said, I said to myself, see, I have amassed wisdom far beyond all those who were over Jerusalem before me, and my mind has thoroughly grasped wisdom and knowledge. Now, he's not going on an ego trip. This is what Scripture says about him. People came from all over to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And he said, I applied my mind to know wisdom and knowledge, madness and folly. Some say it's a good translation to say mad folly there. I have learned that this too is the pursuit of the wind. For with much wisdom is much sorrow. As knowledge increases, grief increases. So if through chasing the wisdom of this world, you are looking for the meaning of life, in that pursuit, you can get all the wisdom you could possibly obtain and still find yourself coming up short. We live in a culture that screams about more information, more information. It's kind of the way to solve problems. We can deal with our opioid, our drug problem, if people only had more information. We can deal with our nicotine, tobacco problem, our alcohol problem, if they just had more information, our gun violence problem, mental illness problem, all with more information. There is some truth to that, but it is not the answer to the meaning of life. You cannot solve heart issues with head issues only. And so that's the frustration I think that Solomon is voicing, is that you can have all the head knowledge in the world, but there's some things in life that knowledge will not explain, and you'll find yourself coming up short and coming up empty.
It's actually, if I can, a great place just to bring up one of the questions that's in your curriculum. And I think it's important, too, that we highlight while we walk through this particular passage that Solomon's wisdom was a gift given to him by God as an answer to prayer. When God came to him and asked, you know, all right, you can ask me for anything that you want, what you want. And Solomon, as a young man at the time, rather than asking for riches and, you know, prosperity and a long life and, you know, pleasures, asked God for wisdom. And so it was divinely granted to him. And of course, it did in time make him a better ruler while his heart was set on the Lord. And it was once his heart was not set on the Lord that he wasn't. Anyway, in the curriculum, page 37 in mind, there's a great question that I think is useful for us to talk about during this section. How have you experienced the truth that the more you know, the more sorrow you have? We live in a moment in world history that's been described the information age, because we have more info and more access to knowledge than any generation ever before us. And the vast majority of it is free and at least to a large degree pretty accurate. You know, you can learn more on Wikipedia over the course of a couple of days than King Solomon could have learned through all of his reading projects throughout his entire life. We have all that access, and yet, just as Pastor Tim was saying a moment ago, it has not gotten us to the point where we've eradicated the problems of mankind. So, looking specifically at our lives, how do we see it being true that the more we know, the more sorrow we have? I'll give a particular example. For me, I know that being able to see what happens around the world just moments after it happens, we would think, man, that's a good thing because we are much more aware. But what it leads to is this devastation that we can't do anything about it. You know, we're so isolated and far away that we can watch tragedies unfold. And unfortunately, there's nothing that we can add to it. We're just stuck where we are. And even if we were there, we probably wouldn't be able to do all that it would take to eradicate the tragedy. So we see that with social media and how it just makes us more aware of the world's pain and increases the sorrow that we have.
Yeah, and throughout Ecclesiastes, we're going to have different measure moments that connect a lot with what we've already said here today. And most of those measure moments, or a lot of them, are actually connected to our measure of being a student who lives changed. And understanding that this gives us a really good balance of beware of putting your hope and trust and all in wisdom that you gain, but also don't think that seeking after wisdom is unimportant. So your measures moment this week talks about students of Jesus seek to grow in faith continually. And that just reminds us of, even in the New Testament, we have Peter writing in 2 Peter 1 that we need to supplement our faith with virtue and virtue with knowledge. And it's talking about the idea of, yes, you are... you have this saving faith in Christ. Now make every effort to learn Christ, to learn who he is deeper and at a deeper and deeper level, learn how to walk in his ways in a more godly or in a more substantial way. So we as believers are students of Jesus who continually seek to know more and more about him, because we know that the true and profitable knowledge and wisdom that is to be gained is found in Christ. So that's a great measures moment for this week.
Thank you, Kyle. And going back to that verse 15 in chapter 1, I think that proverb is so key in this passage. What is crooked cannot be straightened. What is lacking cannot be counted. You know, what is broken, particularly what is broken in our moral brokenness, in our sinfulness, cannot be fixed by just more knowledge. Now, knowledge of the gospel and knowledge of spiritual truth, absolutely. But it's bigger than just accruing knowledge on our own. And there are some things that wisdom, particularly wisdom of this world, cannot fix and will not. And that's why he says it's just vain. It's just an empty pursuit. It's frustrating to spend time learning and gaining all of this wisdom, and then it still doesn't answer some of the most important questions regarding the meaning of life. It's going to take a miracle to fix what is broken. And that miracle, we know, is the work of the gospel. Alistair Begg, again, he described it this way. He said, we're trying to line up the squares on a Rubik's Cube with a couple of colors missing. That's what it feels like when we pursue wisdom to try to discern meaning in life. There are some things that we're just powerless to change, and no amount of wisdom in this world is going to resolve or change. Want to just jump to chapter 2, verses 12 through 17 there. In chapter 2, we're going to come back to this next week. Solomon begins to share his testimony about pursuing meaning in life through pleasure and through possessions. And then he comes back and he talks about wisdom again in verse 12. He said, I turned to consider wisdom, madness, and folly. He saw, he pursued both wisdom, learning, and gaining intellectually, and he pursued the foolish life, the sinful life, the partying life, as we will. He learned more than anybody else, and he partied more than anybody else, and both of them landed him with the same conclusion. It's all vain. It's all vanity. Verse 12, he says, talk about his successor, the king's successor. What would he be like? He would do what has already been done. And I realize that there is an advantage to wisdom over folly, like the advantage of light over darkness. You know, what's the king's successor going to do? He's going to do the same thing, kind of that cycle that keeps repeating itself again and again. But verse 13, he gives us a little inkling. Wisdom is better than folly. It's not all lost. It is better, like light over darkness. The wise person has his eyes in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. Yet I also knew that one fate comes to them both. And so what he points out there at the end is that wisdom and folly have an equalizer, and that equalizer is called death. And, you know, that's part of that vanity that he talks about, that futility, that you can spend all your life learning and growing in wisdom. And then this other guy can spend his whole life in ignorance and living it up. And in the end, we're both going to face the same thing, and that thing is called death. Now, we know the picture is bigger than that. We know that where we spend eternity after we have a physical death hinges on how we respond to the truth of the gospel today. Just keep in mind, in all the vanities that Solomon addresses and shares as his testimony, as a personal pursuit, the answer to those vanities where it ended up feeling like it was futile and empty and worthless, the answer is found in Christ. And I would encourage you as teachers in every lesson that you just keep going back to the gospel, because the answer to this folly of the pursuit of wisdom is to the truth that we find in Christ. And Solomon, given his testimony about this pursuit of wisdom and other things of the world, it's kind of like a parent saying to his son, you know, don't do what I did. Do what I say, not what I did. And as Solomon is trying to instruct even his son, not to try to outdo him in folly, but to learn from his mistakes and learn the end game of what we refer to often as fear God and keep his commandments. That is the answer in chapter 12. So he pursued wisdom, looking for meaning in life. He came up empty. He saw that at the end of the day, those who pursue that wisdom with all that is within them and those that live a life of folly face the same end. Death is the equalizer. Yet, there's a glimmer in that chapter 2 passage that it's still better to have wisdom than not, and as far as of how we navigate through life. But Solomon's words to us, let's not let them fall on deaf ears. Though he was frustrated with the pursuit of wisdom, as he looked for the meaning of life, learning and education and growing in wisdom is not a bad thing. It's just not going to answer everything as far as the meaning of life is concerned.
That's good, and that comes to that leads us to our live it out points for this week, and I think you'll get some really good discussion from these either this week or next week with the recap. But just the idea of number one, what are you pursuing right now that feels like trying to catch the wind? You know, Solomon was pursuing wisdom, but something just seemed out of his grasp, just right outside of his grasp. We're all pursuing something. We're all tempted to pursue something other than the Lord, and it can leave us empty. And so is there something that you are tempted to pursue that winds up leaving you feeling empty? Or frustrated would be another way of describing that emptiness, because number two says, how might seeing from an eternal perspective change the way you deal with the things that have been frustrating you lately? Just understanding the bigger picture and how that informs what you're living for and how you're living your life. So that bigger picture can genuinely bring real change in your life. So that live it out, both of those will be helpful this week.
Good. Well, I appreciate you guys investing, taking the time out to invest into our leaders to help equip them as they lead on Sunday mornings. A couple of announcements as we wrap our time up is to remember that Grown Up D Now is just a few days away now. And what a great opportunity for us to speak into and encourage our parents at Liberty and even in our community. So I encourage you to keep this in front of your group to go ahead and get registered and participate in Grown Up D Now. Also, Southside, there will be a Southside question and answer, and that's scheduled for the 21st. So that's coming up also. So keep that on your radar, as well as those in your group. Keep them informed so that they can be a part of, and certainly come and ask and engage in conversation as we continue to walk down this path of Replant Shelby. So thank you for being a part of this and for being a part of the podcast, and we will see you on Sunday.